Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
What is the No Spin News all about?
You know that this is a fact-based analysis news program. You know that. We avoid speculation. We don't do conspiracies here. We don't do party politics here. We're not nonpartisan. That's wrong. Not that. Okay, we are advocates for a stronger America and a more just society. We don't believe in communism. We don't believe in socialism. We don't believe in nihilism. We don't believe in the progressive woke culture. We think it is un-American. We don't support that. So you should know what we are, and it would then crystallize what we do.
Listen to the No Spin News. Subscribe to Bill O'Reilly's podcast feed wherever podcasts are available.
Hey, welcome to Politics by Faith. Thanks for being here. I want to play for you our, by the way, brought to you by Patriot Gold Group, our proud sponsors from the very beginning. So grateful for them. You should buy gold, by the way, patriotgoldgroup.com. This special we just did is about abortion, but it's about the politics of abortion. I explain why here in a minute, but we pro-lifers need to proceed wisely. I know on the radio show lately, we've talked a lot about being as harmless or innocent as a dove. I like innocent better. Innocent as a dove, but as wise as the serpent. And we're certainly up against the devil on this one. My monologue and then the great Abby Johnson.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch. I want to tell you, Kavanaugh. You have released the whirlwind, and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions.
Remember that? We can debate about whether or not the left loves abortion, but there's no question they love the politics of abortion. The court in Florida, Supreme Court, said that the six-week ban on abortion is allowed, but they also said that there's going to be a proposition on the ballot in November to increase abortion to 24 weeks. So the people of Florida get to decide, you want a six-week ban on abortion or a 24-week ban. Now, the politics of this is that Republicans have a 900,000 voter registration advantage over Democrats. Florida is no longer a swing state, but now, with abortion on the ballot, will that be enough for Democrats to get off the couch to vote for abortion? Oh, and while they're there, I might as well vote for Biden as well. The Democrats want abortion on the ballot in every swing state. They think that abortion is a winning issue for them. And unfortunately, they might be right, at least for now. Today's special is about the politics of abortion. I'm grateful you're here. I want to talk about what this special is not, briefly. This special is not about abortion itself. My single issue is abortion. I'm as pro-life as they come, and I'm happy to have that conversation all day long, and we've had it here many times before. We should talk about abortion. We should talk about it from every side, every angle imaginable. I don't think there's a greater issue in our country. How could there possibly be a greater issue in our country than the killing of a million babies every single year, which, by the way, is going up because of the increase in chemical abortions inside of states. Even states like Texas that ban abortion, you can send a pill in and a woman can have a chemical abortion. Now 62% of all abortions. But that's not what this special is about. This special is about the politics of this issue, the whirlwind, as Chuck Schumer said. I, again, pro-life, I travel the country speaking at pro-life pregnancy centers. I, Mike Slater, recognize that right now in this country, abortion, pro-life, I should say, politically is a losing issue. Does that make sense? And I look forward to talking to our guest today and we can really talk this out. But I think that's an accurate assessment of the current state of our political movement. Maybe that doesn't best reflect the actual sentiment of our country, but politically, like winning ballot referendums, voting for certain candidates, abortion seems to be a loser right now. And I lament that deeply, but I think that's where we are right now. If I can liken this politically to slavery, because abortion and slavery are nearly a one-to-one comparison, right? Neither the slave nor the fetus is a person. They have no rights. Let's let the states decide. It's a very similar issue.
Bill O'Reilly here with a big announcement. You can now watch new episodes of the No Spin News live on Samsung TV Plus. Tune in each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV for breaking news, honest analysis, and the best election coverage in America. Please join me, Bill O'Reilly, at the First TV, now available on Samsung TV Plus. Start watching today on your Samsung television, Galaxy devices, or the Samsung TV Plus mobile app. Check out the No Spin News each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV, Samsung TV Plus.
I think right now we're in the President Thomas Jefferson stage 1806, when Jefferson told Congress, hey guys, we gotta stop the slave trade. And that's part of an address he gave to Congress, right? We gotta stop this slave trade into America. Now, just a little reference sake, there were 12 million slaves that were shipped out of Africa to the New World. Only about 400,000 of them went to America. And there were another 12 million that were shipped from Africa to the Middle East. No one ever talks about those. But 400,000 into America. So Thomas Jefferson, first order of business, let's stop the flow of new slaves into America. And that's great. Obviously, you got to do it. In some ways, though, a bit of a kick in the can down the road for 53 years until this was finally settled with the war. And there were other things in between then, of course, further kicks off that can. But I think that's where we're at with abortion right now, right? It's like, hey, let's get rid of Roe v. Wade, which would be the international slave trade in this analogy, but let's leave it up to the states. And like, that's good. Right, it's like let's end the international slave trade, but we're gonna leave it up to the states still. It's like, okay, that's good, but some states are like, great, let's increase abortion to 40 weeks. When I lived in California in 2022, the people voted on that. It was Prop 1, and it passed by a lot, 67-33. Yeah, the people of California, they really want abortion to be allowed to 40 weeks. But even red states. Some red states have been, like Texas, are like, no abortion allowed at all. And then there's a lot of in between. I should say it like that. You got the blue states who are like full on 40 weeks. You got most of the red states who are like zero abortion or 6 weeks or something like that. And then you get a bunch of other states in between. But even, and this is kind of the point of this special, even in a state like Ohio, which is a red state by quite a bit, in November 2023, a yes would, see, this is why this is a confusing one. A yes would have allowed, a yes allows abortion. And 56% of people voted for it in Ohio. And we could talk about how it was a confusing ballot name and a yes meant a no and the deceptive advertising and the money and all that stuff. But if there was a mass movement against abortion in America, no one would have been tricked by a misleading ballot title. You know what I mean? Everyone, right? Like the people who are for abortion, they are rabid about it. And I think they're winning right now. The goal of the pro-life movement needs to be to make sure that, or to get to the point where no one would even fathom having an abortion. It's like, well, of course you would outlaw it. We're not there yet. And the Democrats know that. And they're pushing abortion hard to win votes. So I want to be clear on this again. Pro-life Mike Slater, I lament this reality. I wish it weren't so. And I look forward to our guests today maybe telling me it's not so and giving their best argument. But I don't want this to discourage you. Even if you're pro-life like me, even if we're not where we want to be, let's not be discouraged by this. But I also don't want to, we can't be ignorant of the reality and we got to take the temperature of the room, find out what we're doing here. I think of the red wave that did not happen in 2022. Every single president in their midterm election loses a ton of seats in the House the other party or their party loses a ton of seats. Barack Obama lost 65 seats. He lost 60, Republicans won 65 seats against Obama. That's right, they flipped 65 seats against Obama. And in 2022, we were expecting an even bigger red wave, but Republicans only gained 9. And Democrats picked up a senator in Pennsylvania, and Democrats picked up 2 governor seats. Like, what the heck? There were 6 states that had propositions to preserve or expand abortion, and they all won. California, Vermont, but also Montana, Michigan, Kentucky, Kansas. Pro-life lost in Kansas. And you're like, what in the world? Well, the timing. The election was November 2022. Roe v. Wade was overturned in June of 2022. So people were still very up in arms in this. And the Democrats got a huge advantage. Can they still get an advantage in 2024, like they did in 2022? So again, we're talking about this politically. I don't want anyone confused. Oh, Slater's pro-choice. Like, no. We need to do everything we can to win the hearts and minds on this issue. But we have to realize where we are and proceed wisely. Which leads us to Donald Trump. Here's what Donald Trump is saying about abortion. This is his stance on this. And he got a lot of heat from this, from pro-lifers. He was on Meet the Press. This is about 5 minutes into this conversation. Here it is.
I think both sides are going to like me. You're asking me a question. What's going to happen is you're going to come up with a number of weeks or months. You're going to come up with a number that's going to make people happy. Because 92% of the Democrats don't want to see abortion after a certain period of time.
If a federal ban landed on your desk, if you were reelected, would you sign it at 15 weeks?
Are you talking about a complete ban?
A ban at 15 weeks.
Well, people are starting to think of 15 weeks. That seems to be a number that people are talking about right now.
Would you sign that?
I would sit down with both sides and I'd negotiate something, and we'll end up with peace on that issue for the first time in 52 years. I'm not going to say I would or I wouldn't. I mean, DeSantis is willing to sign a 5-week and 6-week ban.
Would you support that?
I think what he did is a terrible thing and a terrible mistake. But we'll come up with a number. But at the same time, Democrats won't be able to go out in 6 months, 7 months, 8 months and allow an abortion.
Okay. Trump is all about finding a number somewhere in the middle as a federal ban, and then states can go lower than that if they want. I think that sounds pretty good. Listen, if we're up to me, no abortion anywhere ever. But it's a big country. And we're not there yet. Remember, I think we got to take what we can get. Right? Florida, you get 5 weeks. That's great. In California, they're 40. But if we have a federal stance on this, the federal government would say, all right, you can't go above 15 or whatever it is. Right? We got to get this number lower than 40. Let's agree on that. And then we can move the ball even forward. Democrats are really good at incrementalization. Right? You give them an inch, they'll take a mile, but they do it slowly. The frog in the boiling water whole thing. We need to do the same thing, but in the other direction. I say we get a 15-week ban, and then we go for 13, then we go for 10, then 5, and eventually we get to the point where it would be unthinkable. We don't even need a law anyway. No one would ever do it. Just like no one would own a slave, even if it was legalized tomorrow. But we got to get moving in that direction. So politically, I think Trump has the right stance on this. Just knowing the temperature of the room, I think that's the best approach right now. Here's Donald Trump's advice to Republicans.
They want a number. There is a number, and there's a number that's going to be agreed to. And Republicans should go out and say the following, because I think the Republicans speak very inarticulately about this subject. I watched some of them without the exceptions, et cetera, et cetera. I said, other than certain parts of the country, you're not going to win on this issue, but you will win on this issue when you come up with the right number of weeks, because Democrats don't want to be radical on the issue. Most of them, some do. They don't want to be radical on the issue. They don't want to kill a baby in the 7th month or the 9th month or after birth. And they're allowed to do that, and you can't do that.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that calculus is right. It was pretty wild, actually. The left says that Trump is so extreme on everything. Trump's actually extremely moderate on many issues. The left thinks it's amazing that anyone would vote for such an extremist. But what's more accurate is it's fascinating that an extremist like me on abortion would still vote for Trump the moderate. Because on abortion, he's very moderate. And I think right now in 2024, I think that's the winning ticket as long as we're moving and still in that pro-life direction. It's better than a vote for Biden, which is certainly a move in the other direction. No question about that. That's my political calculus right now. We'll see what our guests think today about this issue. Abby Johnson coming up next right here on the First TV. Patriot Gold Group, patriotgoldgroup.com. Buy gold. I have gold. I own it. I have it. I'm not going to tell you where it is, but I have it. It's about diversifying. And I see, this is just my calculus. You can talk to any financial advisor you want. I'm sure everyone's got a different strategy on this one, but I see central banks around the world, especially China, buying it all. I see things collapsing. And gold is a thing that's been around forever and does well in times of crisis. That's my thinking. So then the question is, so I'm like, okay, I'm going to buy some. So then the question is, well, who? Who do you trust? There's a lot of gold companies out there, I guess. Patriot Gold Group is the best. I found them. I'm only going to tell you about the best. I'm not going to tell you about the third best or the second best. I'm going to find the best. It's Patriot Gold Group. Talk about a no-fee-for-life IRA, or your 401k or IRA can be in physical gold and silver. And silver's doing great right now as well. Or just own gold or silver. 888-617-6122. Free investor's guide. Tell me you know Mike Slater. You'll always get incredible service. I guarantee it. Patriot Gold Group. Consumer Affairs top rated gold IRA dealer 7 years in a row. Consumer Affairs number one 7 years in a row. 888-617-6122. Just give them a call. Get a free investor's guide. PatriotGoldGroup.com.
Or any restrictions on abortion?
I don't. I've always believed...
Even in the third trimester?
I believe that choice is between a woman, her doctor, and a God if she prays to one.
You would veto any law with any limit on abortion?
I would veto any additional restrictions on abortion that are sent to my desk as governor, yes.
Where it's obvious that a woman is about to give birth, she has physical signs that she is about to give a birth, would that still be a point at which she could request an abortion if she was so certified?
My bill would allow that, yes.
If a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mothers.
Okay, so that's the extremist stance by many Democrats in power. And Donald Trump's argument was that we made a moment ago, that he made a moment ago, is that that's not what most people believe. So if you vote for those people, you're going to get that level of extreme. Always an honor to talk to Abby Johnson, former director of a Planned Parenthood. She's now a pro-life advocate, one of the reasons why I've boldly entered into this space as well. She's been a huge inspiration to me. She's the CEO of the Then There Were None ministry, and you can watch the movie about her life, Unplanned. If you haven't seen that yet, watch it. If you've seen it already, watch it again. Abby, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for talking about this, because we got to war game this. We got to figure this out, the pro-life movement does. So first of all, let me ask you, do you think abortion is a loser? Or I should say, do you think pro-life is a loser politically?
So I don't think that being pro-life, I don't think that abortion is a losing political game. I do think, though, that the way that we talk about abortion is important. And I'm not sure that the way that the pro-life movement has been talking about abortion has been the most effective way to talk about this issue. And I think that that's something that's going to really have to be rectified, because the pro-life movement has essentially allowed the pro-abortion movement to narrate this entire conversation, right? So the abortion industry, they're not actually selling abortion, not anymore. They have co-opted the narrative, and now they are selling freedom. And so it's really not about abortion anymore. So now they are telling people that they are the ones that are they're selling freedom to women, that the pro-life movement is about enslaving women, that we are trying to take freedom away from women. And essentially, motherhood is a life sentence, right, for women. And so singlehood, that is what is beautiful. That is freedom. That is what you want. And we haven't done a very good job at really countering that point that the abortion industry is putting forward. And we have to do a better job, or else we are going to continue to lose.
Okay, it's perfectly analyzed. So what's the next step? What would you recommend pro-lifers do differently? And maybe there's even some nuance of how you speak about pro-life to an individual person, to a woman in a crisis pregnancy, to someone who had, there's all these different like conversations to be had, but so maybe just big picture, big political sense, how would you recommend pro-lifers speak about this issue?
Well, I absolutely think that we have to speak about abortion, number one, from an educational standpoint. We have an entire generation of people, I would say a couple generations of people, who really don't even know what abortion is. And one of the reasons for that is because the secular media has done a really great job of keeping the preborn person hidden and has done a really great job of keeping the truth about abortion hidden. And so I think that the pro-life movement needs to do a really great job of explaining the person in the womb without any sort of over-exaggerated rhetoric, right? And we need to do a good job of explaining what abortion is without that over-exaggerated rhetoric. Abortion is bad enough on its own. Okay, so we don't have to, you know, exaggerate and make it worse than it is. It's already bad enough on its own. But I think there's a lot of people that don't really know what abortion is in the first place. I'll give you a good example of this. I'm sure you remember just a few months ago when that woman from Texas, Kate Cox, she wanted to have an abortion in the state of Texas with her child who had trisomy. And she was fighting for the right to kill her child in the state of Texas. Well, she couldn't do it in the state. And she petitioned a judge in the state of Texas. This was an activist judge who said, yes, okay, you can kill your baby here in the state of Texas. Immediately, the Texas Supreme Court, you know, weighed in and said, nope, can't do it. Absolutely not. It's against the law. Sorry. And, you know, she didn't do this because she was really sad and suffering or whatever. She did it, and she basically used her child, her disabled child, as a political pawn. That should disgust everyone, okay? But it didn't. And here was the problem. I did a ton of media surrounding that case. And even the pro-life media that I did, everybody was talking about Kate Cox. Everybody was talking about this poor woman who, you know, oh, she's suffering. This, oh my gosh, she can't get the abortion that, you know, she wants and blah, blah, blah. Nobody talked about what was going to happen to the child in the womb. This was now a 21 week old child in the womb that was going to be murdered. Nobody was talking about how much that baby was going to suffer. Everyone was talking, even pro-life media, was talking about the suffering that this woman was going to deal with because she now couldn't have an abortion. She was going to have to travel out of state. Nobody was talking about that preborn child in the womb, that this child's arms and legs were going to be brutally ripped off of its body, that this child was going to be awake and feeling its body be torn apart. Nobody was talking about that. We aren't doing a good job of educating people about the abortion procedure itself. And we aren't doing a good job also of telling people about all of the resources that we have in the pro-life movement. We have 4 times more resource centers than they have abortion centers. So why aren't we talking about that? You are never going to go to an abortion center and find diapers and wipes and car seats for women who choose life. But you will find that in every pregnancy center. We've got to do a better job at marketing who we are and what we do.
Yeah, on that, Kate Cox and some others, I saw one the other day at CNN about the state, again, forcing a woman to have a baby who is already, they say, going to die quickly. So the left has been pushing this reluctant abortion, this painfully reluctant. Oh, I wish it weren't the case. I so don't want to do this, but have to. You don't buy that?
No. No, I don't. I think that there was a point in time, you know, in decades ago, okay, in the 60s and before, and in the 70s probably, and maybe in the early 80s, where women, you know, they probably didn't really know what was going on. We didn't even call it abortion back then. You know, the doctors called it menstrual extraction. A lot of women, they weren't even fully aware that they were pregnant sometimes. And doctors would say, I've heard this story from women, doctors would say, oh, we're going to do a procedure to bring your period back. And these women didn't even really understand that they were pregnant. They didn't understand that they were having an abortion. I think this was before the age of ultrasound, where ultrasound was available. I was born in 1980. My mom did not have an ultrasound with me. People didn't really know what was going on inside the womb, right? But now we know. And I think the pro-life movement has done everyone really a disservice by treating every woman who has an abortion as a victim. Look, I've had two abortions in my life. I was not a victim either time. Was I receiving some pressure from my boyfriend to have an abortion? Yeah, but ultimately it was my choice to put my body on that table and kill my children. So we're kind of talking out of both sides of our mouth. On one hand, we're saying women are strong and empowered and we can do anything and we can overcome any challenge that comes in front of us. And on the other hand, we're also saying women are victims and so sad and we're so, oh my gosh, we can't figure out which way is up or down and that's why women are having abortions. Well, which one is it? Because it can be both. And I choose to believe, because I am a woman, I am a strong woman, I'm an educated woman, I choose to believe that women are strong and they are tough enough to overcome these barriers and these challenges. They are strong enough to be whatever kind of mom that they choose to be.
Why do, we only got about 3 minutes. I got two more questions. Why, for the most part, and everyone's different, but why do women get abortions today?
Convenience. Almost 100% convenience. We have women call us that say, I need an abortion because I don't want to get stretch marks. I need an abortion because I have plans for spring break. And I want to be able to drink and live my best life. I don't want to be a single mom. My boyfriend just ran out on me. It's convenience almost every single time. These situations of, you know, oh, I have a medical condition. Oh, I was raped. It's about 1%. 99% is just strictly convenience.
Hmm. What is your message to women who have had an abortion, who maybe feel like because of that, they have to be pro-choice now? I don't want to be a hypocrite. I got it. I want that opportunity to be available to other people. Even if I do regret it, even if I do have shame about it, I feel like I can't be pro-life now. What's your message to those women and men who are a part of that?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times, you know, pro-abortion people will say, oh, you're a hypocrite. You utilized the choice twice. Now you're trying to take it away from women. Well, you know, my answer to that is when you know better, you do better. And that is the answer to every mistake we've ever made. You don't want to repeat the same mistakes. Once you realize they're mistakes, you turn away from them. And, you know, we serve an amazing God. We serve an amazing creator. He does not want us to live in shame and condemnation. He does not shame and condemn us once we turn away from our sin. And he doesn't want us to then in turn condemn ourselves. And so if you don't know the Lord, if you don't know his forgiveness, if you don't know who he is, I would say, look him up. He has amazing grace for us, and he's a very good God.
Abby Johnson, former Planned Parenthood director, CEO, Then There Were None, and the movie is Unplanned. Where would you like to forward people to learn more about you and everything you're doing?
Yeah, so my website is abbyj.com. They can find out about my ministries, my podcast, the film, my books, everything there.
Okay, what was it? Then There Were None.
So my website is just abbyj.com, and the ministry website is abortionworker.com.
Okay, beautiful. Abby Johnson, great to talk to you, Abby. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Please keep it up. We'll continue talking about the politics of this issue. Coming up next, Mike Slater, The First TV. Spread the word.
Bill O'Reilly here with a big announcement. You can now watch new episodes of the No Spin News live on Samsung TV Plus. Tune in each weeknight at 8 p.m. on The First TV for breaking news, honest analysis, and the best election coverage in America. Please join me, Bill O'Reilly, at The First TV, now available on Samsung TV Plus. Start watching today on your Samsung television, Galaxy devices, or the Samsung TV Plus mobile app. Check out the No Spin News each weeknight at 8 p.m. on The First TV, Samsung TV Plus.